time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Now, of course, I enjoy A Band in Manitoba every week, as I know many of our listeners do, but I'm very excited about this one because it's on a topic that I have a fascination with myself. Gordon Goldsborough joins me now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
Gordon, remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, we spent a number of weeks talking about other things, and I thought we should get back to the theme of abandonment. And so today we're going to talk about the abandoned railway stations of Manitoba.
So I'll tell you why railway stations are close to my heart, because growing up in the UK, we used the train all the time to get from point A to point B. So from a young age, and railway stations being everywhere. And I noticed when I'm moving here that it's not such a big part of moving around for obvious reasons. So where do we start with this?
Well, of course, here in Manitoba and in fact in Canada generally, it's such a big nation that, yeah, railways just aren't part of the transportation equation the way they used to be, say, 100 years ago. You know, so at one time, any community of any size that had a connection to the railway had a railway station. It was just a fact of life. You know, you would go there to pick up your freight if you were having something shipped by train, or you'd go there yourself if you were planning to go somewhere else. And the fact is that that was how you got everything around, people, freight, the whole works. But unfortunately here, trucks and cars have pretty much supplanted trains as a way of short-term transportation. And if you're going longer distances, well, of course, you take a plane. So that's just the way of it. And so train stations, as a result, have declined.
And we haven't talked about this in Abandoned Manitoba yet. So
I'm surprised. Yeah. I would have thought by now we've talked about railways in general, but never about the train stations, the most tangible sign of the railway.
I'm assuming there's only one kind of railway station, but were there different types?
Oh, absolutely. Now, of course, the two major railways were the Canadian National and the Canadian Pacific. And there were a few others, but those are the two major ones. And each of them had their own systems for determining what sort of railway station a particular community would have. And it was a little different between the C and the CP, but by and large, it recognizes four types, what you could call first class, second class, third class, and fourth class. And it was a little different between the two railways. That was the basic crux of it all.
Okay, so let's look at each of these different classes of railway stations.
Right. So the very largest centers, the bigger towns, the you know the cities, would have a first-class station. You know, places like Brandon and Winnipeg, these were big, grand affairs. They were made of often durable materials like brick and stone. They contained a freight room. They had a waiting room for the passengers. They had an office space, and that's pretty much it. You know, they didn't, for example, have any accommodations.
Why would they need accommodations?
Well, in the smaller centers, they would often provide a place for the station master to live because, you know, maybe it's the case that there weren't a lot of houses in that town, or maybe because the station masters would move a lot, it didn't make a lot of sense for them to buy a house and then turn around and sell it shortly afterwards. So in most of the next class, the second class places, they would include a residence for the station master as part of the train station. So first class, no, you wouldn't find that. But in second class, almost invariably on the main floor of the building, you would have, in addition to all those things, you'd also have a kitchen and a living room for the family. And then upstairs, they had a little sort of second floor. It wasn't a full second floor, but maybe a half second floor. They had bedrooms for the family members. And that was an invariable part of a second class building.
So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What about the third and fourth?
Well, third was only really different from second in size. You know, for the smaller centers, they just make it smaller. Fourth class, well, that's for places that are really tiny. In fact, so tiny that they wouldn't even have a station master. There wouldn't be somebody living there all the time to look after things. It might just be a little place where people could wait for the train, you know, get out of the rain, get out of the snow. It might be a little place you could put your packages waiting for the train to come, but they were just small little almost sort of sheds. That's a fourth class building.
Like a bus shelter or something.
Yeah, kind of.
Do we have a sense of how many of these railway stations there were of these different classes in the province?
There aren't good statistics on how many in total there originally were, but we know because, of course, the railway has been declining over the number of years that the number is going down. So, for example, back in 1984, about 35 years ago, the provincial government here in Manitoba actually went around and sort of compiled a number of how many they could find. And at that time, they found 128. Stations. There, in fact, there were 5 first-class ones, 18 second-class ones, 80 third-class, that's probably the most common form, and then 25 fourth-class. That was 35 years ago.
So what happened to them? Are they still in existence?
Well, we don't know. The Manitoba Historical Society, with whom I volunteer, we've been trying to sort of do an update of that total. And so far, we have found, out of that 128 that they found 35 years ago, we've found 47. So only about 37%. So it probably indicates that the decline is continuing. We found most of the first class ones because, of course, they're big. They're, you know, they wouldn't have been torn down necessarily. We found most of the second class ones, but third class and fourth class, ooh, those are much harder. And we found a relatively few number of those.
When you talk about finding them, like, how do you know where to look? You just happen upon them? Or?
Well, in some cases, they are still where they stood when they were a railway station. You know, you just go by the railway in the town and lo and behold, there's the building standing there. So that's easy. You know, that's not on the hard at all. Where it's tougher is when they've been moved somewhere else. And if they've been moved a short distance, that's still okay, because you can usually recognize them. They often have quite a unique look to them, and you can tell looking at them, oh, yeah, that's an old railway station. But if they've been moved any distance, then it's much harder because, you know, first of all, you wouldn't know where to look. And a lot of cases, if they've been moved a longer distance, they've been turned into something else. And they've been renovated sometimes so much that you can't even distinguish them as a railway station. They're basically unrecognizable at that point.
Well, let's talk about functions then. What are the functions of today's surviving structures that we know of?
Yeah, well, so of the ones that we have found, and again, that's maybe, you know, about a third of the ones they found in the 1980s, four of them are still used in some fashion as a railway station, not necessarily solely as a railway station. So, for example, the Union Station here in Winnipeg is a railway station, but it's also office space, you know, occupied by the federal government and a number of other entities. Likewise, in Churchill, the station there is used as a railway station, but it's also the office for Parks Canada. You know, so four of them out of the total we found have been maintained as railway stations. The use that seems to be most common among the old railway stations is they're turned into museums. And in some cases, it's they actually use the station building as the museum. They have all the artifacts inside the old museum. In other cases, in the case of bigger museums, it might be a part of a bigger facility. Like they have, you know, maybe a schoolhouse, a church, you know, houses, and they have a railway station. There's bigger facilities that have that. 21 railway stations we found associated with museums in some form. Some of them are community centers. You know, there may be a seniors drop-in center. You know, maybe there's a daycare. There's various things that they could be used for. We found five that are community centers. Three of them provide office space. In other words, no railway function, just office space. The one in Brandon, for example. Homes. Now, this is a category that I suspect is way, way underestimated. So if they've been turned into somebody's home, and especially if they've been moved a considerable distance, we may not be able to find them just because they're not easy to find. We found only four so far in that category.
And were those completely restructured, or are they still keeping the frame of it?
Well, the outside, yes, is usually still distinguishable. You know, there's big doors, for example, or that second floor, the one where they had the family residence, that's sometimes still there. But in some cases, no. I mean, you could look at it and never really know that it was ever a railway station, particularly some of the newer ones that were not as characteristic in their look. If they've been renovated, we have no way of knowing. But restaurants, we found two so far that are restaurants. Well, here in Winnipeg, listeners may know that there's one that's been turned into a restaurant sort of featuring French cuisine, and it's the old railway station in St. Boniface. There's another one in Roblin that was turned into a restaurant. In Arburg, they've turned it into the library in town. And then who knows how many more? You know, I suspect, and maybe listeners can help us, there's probably many, many more that are out there we just cannot discover because they're just either so out of the way that we don't know where to look for them, or they're just so different as to be unrecognizable. So, you know, I suspect there's many more, but we just don't know about them.
So those are railway stations that have been used for something else. What about abandoned stations?
Yeah, well, of course, there's our theme, you know, and that's what I promised. We would talk about the abandoned railway stations. Well, in fact, we have found nine so far, nine stations that have been abandoned. And of those nine, five are still standing at their original site. So, for example, in Emerson, the old Canadian Pacific station is standing right where it was all along. It's been boarded up. It's surrounded by tall grass. You know, it clearly isn't being used. And in fact, at one point, they were talking about maybe turning it into the 19th hole, so to speak. And it never happened. And so it's still standing where it was originally. Four of them have been moved. And so, for example, of the four that we've found that have been moved, one of the noteworthy ones is at the town of Brookdale, northeast of Brandon. But the interesting thing about that, it's clearly a third class station, but a bigger example of a third class station. It's quite a large structure. It has been moved. It's not next to the railway tracks. And when I first noticed it, I thought, oh yeah, they've moved it over from the tracks nearby. Turns out, no. In fact, they moved it a lot further than that. It's not from Brookdale. It's from a town called Ingelow, several miles away. And for whatever reason, they picked it up and moved it a considerable distance. And I anticipate they probably intended to turn it into a home or something, but it doesn't seem to have been really used for that purpose. And when I was there a couple of years ago, it was literally full of trash. I mean, it might have been treasures at some time, but it's not anymore. It's pretty rough shape, in fact. But more recently, one of the really cool example, a friend of mine, Suzanne Lemon, told me about the train station from Greenway, Manitoba. And I don't know how she found it. I mean, the fact is that it's several miles outside of town. It's surrounded by a copse of trees way out in the middle of a farmer's field. And I was there weeks ago before the farmers had planted a crop. So I was able to walk out to it. And yeah, they moved the building out there. They put it on a new basement and turned it into a house. But that house has been abandoned, what it looks like, for quite a number of years because it's all kind of decaying. I looked inside and the floor had kind of collapsed in places. It was in pretty rough shape. But what was cool, you knew it was a railway station. Even though it had been renovated, it was actually a smaller third-class station. But emblazoned on the ends of the building, it still said Greenway. Because, of course, that was the characteristic feature of all of these railway stations. Because as you were going along, if you were a passenger on the train and you think, where am I right now? As you'd come into a village, you'd see there on the railway station side, you know, the name of the village. So Greenway is still emblazoned on the side of this building. So you know, of course, it's a train station. But how my friend Suzanne found it, I do not know.
Could these abandoned stations be used?
Some of them, yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of them are still in good condition, but some of them, unfortunately, aren't. So the one at Greenway, for example, I suspect it is too far gone. It's just too decayed. Likewise, I'm told the one in Emerson, the reason they didn't turn it into a facility for the golf course is it was going to cost them too much to move it. And it was not bad structural condition, but not great structural condition. That's the problem. Once a building has been abandoned, it starts to deteriorate. And it sometimes costs more to actually fix the deterioration than it would cost to build an entirely new structure. So in the case of Emerson, they actually had blueprints for the building. They had found them in the town hall. And so they built a new building based on the blueprints of the old building. So it looks like a train station, but it never was because it was constructed new for the golf course.
Gordon, you've satisfied my obsession for railway stations in the Manitoban context. So thank you so much for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
The clue for next week.
Next week, I'm going to talk about a huge abandoned object along the Trans-Canada Highway in eastern Manitoba, roughly between Richer and Haddishville, that will leave our listeners stumped.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.